She grabs his face.
He grabs his neck. He grabs the whatchamacallit of his neck. What do they call that?
Nape.
The nape. And then he grabs the small of her back, and then she grabs his shoulders.
God, this has become grabs... audio porn.
Oh, Dawson, look, there's your mom. Back to you, Bob. Accept your perfect life, Dawson.
Continues to
982. Back to you, Bob.
Hello, and welcome to Back to You, Bob, a Dawson's Creek podcast. We are your hosts, Christina and Micah, and this is episode 319, Stolen Kisses, which originally aired on April 26th, 2000.
So they took another break. They took a three-week break.
Yeah. No wonder their ratings are down the tubes. Just kidding.
They didn't air my birthday week, which is offensive.
That is offensive. Well, I can tell you that my 15th birthday fell between this episode and the next episode. This is peak Dawson's Creek, peak Christina's freshman year of high school. Things are aligned.
That's crazy because this week and next week might be the best two episodes back to back.
I know.
Like if we're going to just pair off, I don't know why we would, like pair off episodes with just like two parters and such. These two are... it.
I know. This episode, I knew like the back of my hand. For real. I know next episode is very highly regarded and like people adore it. And I do too. I love it. But this one, I was like, oh my gosh. I know everyone.
Did you have it memorized? Were you like mouthing along with it?
Yeah. No, I wasn't, but I did. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it all.
Do you know what I'm mouthing?
No, I don't.
That's even. I'm saying I felt it.
Oh, made me feel alive.
Oh, what are we drinking for Stolen Kisses?
We are drinking Stolen Kisses. It's gin, pastis, egg white, and rich simple syrup. Not for me.
Not for me.
But if you love gin and you love licorice, it might be for you. So give it a try.
If you love bad drinks, then we have the one for you. It's a Stolen Kiss.
Why don't you tell us what this episode's about so we can start talking about it?
So this is episode 319, Stolen Kisses, and it opens up with Joey and Dawson. They're excited because it's spring break in Capeside, and they're celebrating it with their usual tradition, going to Dawson's Aunt Gwen's, where they karaoke and spend the week having a ball. This year is going to be the final year of the tradition, though, because Gwen is selling her house. So Andy, Pacey, and Pacey's old friend Will Krutsky, whom they all went to school with until the third grade, are tagging along too. And Andy and Will really seem to hit it off. Joey's a little pissed off that Pacey has decided to come at the last minute, even though he said that he wouldn't. And when they all arrive at Gail's sister Gwen's, things get more awkward when everyone falls asleep on the first night in their sleeping bags, leaving Pacey and Joey to share the bed, which is very awkward for them, but really cute and funny for us. The next day, Dawson and Joey fill Aunt Gwen in on their romantic relationship and how it ended in total disaster. She says she understands why it ended, but why are they not together now? And neither of them have an answer. So this week really reminds Joey and Dawson of being young and close. And based on Aunt Gwen's questioning, Dawson is also starting to wonder why he and Joey are not together. So Henry, meanwhile, lands a job at Leary's Fresh Fish to be closer to Jen, whom, as we know, is the hostess. Another server at the restaurant, Shelley, ends up having a major crush on Henry once he starts, which makes Jen very jealous and causes a rift between Henry and Jen. Later, Henry freaks out when Shelley just straight out offers him sex, and he tells Jen about it. She says Henry should just go and have sex with her, go make a bunch of babies for all she cares. So Jen ends up confronting Shelley in front of the whole restaurant, screaming at her and embarrassing herself. This is the perfect example of why Jen doesn't get close to people and she doesn't open up to them. She just thinks she's going to get hurt. Henry promises that he'll never hurt her and he's not going anywhere. So with Mitch and Gail in this episode, their old friend Megan comes to town and they haven't seen her in a long, long time. But they used to be best friends and they were all in each other's weddings. And she gives them the sad news that her husband has passed away. Mitch and Gail don't want to add to her pain any further, so they decide not to tell her about their divorce and play as they're a married couple. So by the end of the episode, seeing their friend grieve like this, they realize just how trivial the problems are and that they do care for each other. So while Mitch and Gail watch their wedding video and reminisce about old times, they hold hands and dance. Back at Aunt Gwen's, Andy and Will really get to know each other better throughout the week. And it appears that Will isn't all he's cracked up to be. You know, there's more to him. And this really intrigues Andy. So during the ritual karaoke that Dawson and Joey referenced earlier, everyone is singing and having fun. And Gwen nominates Dawson and Joey to sing their usual hit, Daydream Believer. It is very clear that Gwen is shipping Dawson and Joey. And Pacey can see the connection between Dawson and Joey during the karaoke song, and he gets up and leaves. He's very upset. And Joey clocks it and follows him. And Pacey says that he just can't compete with the history of Dawson and Joey. And Joey says she and Pacey are supposed to have their own history. And she kind of realizes what she said and she stops herself. Pacey is about to walk away from the conversation when Joey says she felt it. When his arm brushed up against her in bed this morning, she felt it. And he asks her how it felt, and she said, it made her feel alive. So that's when Pacey says, okay, Joey, I'm going to kiss you now. She protests, and he says, you can't say to me what you just said to me and not expect me to kiss you. So he's going to count to 10, and he'll kiss her by the time he's done. And if she doesn't want him to, then she'll have to stop him. She doesn't, and he kisses her again. And it is interrupted by Aunt Gwen. She tells Joey that she's not one to judge, but they just can't hide this from Dawson. It's going to kill him. So Andy, meanwhile, tells Pacey that she might like his friend Will, and she thinks it's better to just be open and honest about these things. And she really does think Pacey deserves happiness. Pacey and Joey meet up by the fire at the end, and Joey asks him what he's feeling, and Pacey says this isn't about what he feels, this is about what she feels. And she says that she feels terrible, and he admits that he does too. Their kiss tonight was the best and the worst he's ever felt at the same time. Pacey tells Joey that if she felt one shred of what he feels for her, then they wouldn't be here having this conversation. He walks away from her, and Joey grabs Pacey, and this time, he's the one to kiss him. And that's episode 319, Stolen Kisses.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow, wow, wow.
Amazing episode. Better kisses than last time, if you ask me.
Completely.
There's been an escalation in the kisses, and there's no turning back now. We're in it. So who wrote this? Who wrote Stolen Kisses?
Well, no shocker, this episode had a real dream team. It was written by Tom Kapanos, most recently with us for episode 314, Valentine's Day Massacre, and first with us for episode 305, Indian Summer. If you want to hear more about him, you can go back and listen to that episode. And it was directed by Greg Prang, who is most recently with us for episode 310, Encounters of the Close Kind. He was first with us as a director for episode 215, That Is the Question, but he is also a producer on the series, so he's been around.
That is a dream team, and it showed, and I love that it's Tom Kapanos, because he also wrote Indian Summer, which I love.
Yes.
I mean, we'll get into it, but wow. What about your guest cast shout out?
This was hard. Again, there are two people in this episode who are only in this episode, and I feel like they both need to be recognized.
Okay.
The first is Sarah Lancaster playing Shelley. I feel like I need to mention her because she was a staple in our youths. She was a child actor. She got her start at the age of 13 on Saved by the Bell, The New Class, on which she was a regular with Bianca Lawson, also of Dawson's fame. She was in episodes of Unhappily Ever After, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, Zoe Duncan, Jack and Jane, Dharma and Greg, Seventh Heaven, 6 Feet Under, Revenge. She's kind of one of those people that was everywhere. She was in 20 episodes of Everwood, 13 episodes of Undressed. She was a regular on Chuck. So she was in, I think, every episode of Chuck. And most recently this year, she is in a show called Blue Ridge. So she's still working. She's got a very long-standing career, and I felt weird not mentioning her.
For sure. We had to mention her. She's a staple of our childhood, like you said. And I mean, Everwood, oh, the best.
The best, even though you judged me when I brought it up on my teen shows.
On your favorite teen shows?
On Dawson's Draft.
I love Everwood. No wonder why I judged you. Well, she's a star.
She's a star.
And the other, I know who the other is.
The other is Julie Bowen playing Aunt Gwen, or Aunt Gwen, if you're from...
Aunt.
If you're from New England. She is everywhere. You know her. You love her. She started acting in 1992. So this episode, as you know, aired in 2000. She started acting in 1992. She had 10 credits or so before what I consider to be her big break of Happy Gilmore, which was in 1996. And then she was kind of off to the races from there. She has so many credits. She is everywhere, was everywhere. She was a regular on the show Ed, for 4 seasons. She was a regular on Boston Legal for 2 seasons. She was in Modern Family for 11 seasons, which I didn't even realize it was that long. That's crazy. And most recently this year, she is a regular on the Peacock series Hysteria. So she's obviously still a very successful actress. And yeah, I mean, what more is there to say?
I didn't realize she was in so many things before Modern Family. That's wild. I actually totally forgot she's in Ed. And it's funny you should say that because I was looking for something to watch last night and I did see Hysteria. I did not watch it, but the premise sounded good.
What is the premise?
The premise of Hysteria is it follows a struggling high school heavy metal band of outcasts who use the town's sudden interest in the occult to start a reputation as a satanic metal band until a strange series of events triggers a witch hunt that leads back to them. That sounds kind of interesting.
Yeah, nice little fall show. Spooky season.
Yeah. Anna Camp is in it.
Nice.
Well, we love Aunt Gwen, even though she's weirdly obsessed with Dawson and Joey, but we'll get into it.
It's so awkward. We will absolutely get into it. Music moment. Do I need to ask?
No.
Daydream Believer.
The closing song.
Obviously.
Yeah.
It is maybe peak
music moment.
Dawson's music moment for me.
Now, I will say, I like the song in this scene, and it still makes me feel things that I'm supposed to feel in this while watching it.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, Dawson and Joey karaoke to Daydream Believer, but then this is a much, when Pacey and Joey kiss, it's a much more slowed down emo ballad version. I guess what I'm trying to say is that I love the song in the context of the show, but whenever I hear this version outside of the show, like if I'm driving, I change it.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
It's the show in the scene that makes me like this version, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
I completely agree. It's not a version that I'm ever like, yeah, put it on. But the second it comes on, I think immediately of this scene. And that, like, in essence is a Dawson's music moment.
Oh, yeah. What specifically do you think, like, the song starts, what image pops in your head? Like, what frame?
Them standing by the fire, Pacey, Joey.
Okay.
What about you?
Mine is, like, the hands. Like, when she grabs it.
That's a good one. It's great.
Pace.
It's great.
The best freaking episode of TV ever.
So freaking good.
And you better agree. So freaking good and you better agree or else remind me at the end.
Past versus present. Do you have anything?
The past versus present is that I don't think I understood how weird Gwen was before.
Yeah.
Aunt Gwen really wants Dawson and Joey to be together.
Yeah. It's weird. I wrote this down to talk about later, but Julie Bowen has like a naturally, her tone is very naturally like forceful and a touch condescending, like just the way she maneuvers herself in all roles. And then added on top of it, her motivation of like Dawson, Joey. She felt so overbearing to me in this rewatch in a way that like I hadn't clocked before.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Well, that isn't mine, but I agree 100%.
What's yours?
Mine is Shelley offering sex to Henry is hilarious to me. And like, I remember thinking Shelley was kind of this like floozy that walks in and whatever. It is so weird to me now that Jen doesn't just disclose her relationship with Henry to Shelley. It's so weird.
I wonder if it's because they're coworkers or...
I don't know.
Or was Jen just like looking to be kind of hurt because she's kind of self-fulfilling?
Yeah. I think I saw Shelley as a little bit more of a bad guy the first time around. And now I'm like, oh no, this is kind of all on Jen. Even though I guess Henry does tell Shelley that he has a girlfriend and Shelley still pursues him. So she is like a little bit of a villain in that regard. But I was like, Jen, this is kind of on you.
Yeah, I agree.
Great. I'm glad.
Jen should just be honest. Jen should just say, hey, Shelley, that's my man.
Yeah, which she does eventually, but it's in a moment of explosion where she calls her like a slut or something.
That's my handy boy.
Shall we open it up?
Let's open it up and dive in. Will Krutsky's here.
Will Krutsky's on the scene.
We'll talk more about him next week. There's a reason he's here.
Sure is. Sure is.
There's a reason he's being incepted into Capeside history and lore. He was basically Pacey's other best friend until like third grade.
Until he moved. That classic story.
And then Dawson's like, he's mine, not mine. He took Pacey for himself. He kind of looks like Dawson.
He kind of looks like Dawson and Pacey had a baby, to be honest.
He's so capeside. I love him. Casting.
He is. He's a cutie. Cutie patootie.
Well, guess what? They're going to Aunt Gwen's because it's spring break tradition.
Yeah. And
big karaoke there. It sounds like a blast.
Honestly, it sounds great. Quirky Aunt Gwen sounds great. Thankfully, Jackers drops out last minute, so there's room in the car for Will Kredsky.
So this is one of the other episodes that Kurt Smith isn't in. He's only not in like three or something. So it's this one. We just had one. College. No, he's at college.
Which island?
And then it's the season six one with Kmart. Andy McPhee comes. She's overpacked. Classic Andy McPhee.
Classic. Joey's pissed that Pacey's coming. She's like, hello, we kissed. Why would you ever think you could come on this trip?
Why are you coming to Aunt Gwen's? What I thought was funny was that Pacey asked, where's Jackers? And it makes me think that like it was a ad lib from Joshua Jackson.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Because that was his nickname from Valentine's Day Massacre. Or maybe it was put in because, as you said, this was written by Tom Kapanos, who wrote St. Valentine's Day Massacre.
There you go.
Well, look, there's tension. There's tension, okay?
There's tension. Love the interior of Larry's Fresh Fish.
I need to go there immediately.
I need a mug of clam chowder. Stat.
Glass of white cold wine.
Oh.
Fish and chips. Maybe some calamari.
Calamari. Come to Jersey for that. I love that Shelley says that Henry is a branch right off the DiCaprio family tree.
Oh my God, I know.
A nod to us talking about that.
A nod to us. They put a nod into us. They retrofitted the nod to us. Tall, lanky, a branch right off the DiCaprio family tree.
Jen is offended and tells her to go drop a check or something because she doesn't just want to be open and honest about it.
But I love when Shelly was like, she's like, he's a little ragamuffin. I just want to take him home and give him a bath. Like, what? But also, like, I totally see it. Like, that's the perfect description.
Mm-hmm.
A lost little puppy.
The five on the road trip, stop by a diner, have a little diner meal. Love that.
Love a diner.
Love a diner.
What's your go-to order at a diner?
Basically, if I'm going to a diner, I'm getting breakfast no matter the time.
Mm.
What's yours?
Like an omelet or like two eggs or what?
Usually an omelet. Yeah, I'm usually going cheese omelet, hash browns, rye toast.
I'm usually going like a cheeseburger and fries, maybe like a gravy fries moment.
Mm-hmm. Gravy fries. Absolutely. I misspoke.
Yeah.
If I'm going to a diner after 11 p.m., there will be gravy fries involved.
11 p.m. When was the last time you were at a diner after 11 p.m.?
Probably 2003.
Oh my God. I was like, did she say p.m.? Good Lord. We have a bar mitzvah today.
Oh, uh-huh.
And then we have a Halloween party like right after it, and which is fine. The Halloween party doesn't start until like late. I've been thinking all week, like, how am I going to do this? I need to nap. I need coffee. I need protein. How am I going to stay up past 11?
Go get some gravy fries.
I'll get some gravy fries at the diner on the way home. What do they talk about at the diner? Like, oh, Will Kredsky talks about his book.
Yeah, Kredsky loves Catcher in the Rye. It's basically Andy asking Kredsky for his background. Joey and Dawson give the rest of them the background on Aunt Gwen. She was previously married to a lawyer, a little bit miserable. Like, it's just everyone kind of getting the lay of the land.
Yes, yes, yes. Will Kredsky cares about books and writing the way that, like, Dawson cares about film.
Yeah.
Like, he just talks about it. No one really cares. That's his passion.
True, true. Then next scene, we're at Larry's Fresh Fish. Gil and Mitch are chatting business. And their friend, what's her name?
Megan.
Their friend Megan just shows up. Is it Megan?
But I know what you mean. It's weird to see you think of like an older, an old person named Megan. But hey.
Oh, yeah, it is Megan. Their friend Megan just shows up out of the blue.
That's what they did then.
Bizarre.
It's the 90s, the 2000s. It's the aughts.
They're like, what are you doing? What are you doing in Cape Side? Where's Tom? Is he outside in the car? And she's like, we should talk.
Tom's dead.
So they go outside and Tom is dead.
But some part of me was like, wait, is this Mrs. Morgan? I thought it was Abby Morgan's mom.
It kind of looks like her.
It looks just like her. Every woman in Capeside has this hairstyle. I'm exhausted.
It's not good. It's not good.
It is good. It's just that everyone has it. I mean, I like the cut.
I don't love it.
But it's just every woman. And look, Mitch's outfit, he's wearing like a light khaki pant and a pale blue shirt tucked in. If you would like to court me or pursue me, that should be what you wear.
Take notes.
If I went on the Bachelor on night one, I would be like, they all need to wear light khakis and a light blue shirt. Like, no tuxes. I want the 90s dad and I want it now.
It's good. He looks good.
Anyway, Tom's dead.
And Megan is like, what's going on with you two? And Mitch is like, well, hate to break it to you. And Gail's like, nothing. Everything's great. Dawson's angsty. We're doing great. She pivots. She doesn't want to tell her about the divorce. What's your take on that?
I think it's good that they're not adding to her. To her pain. You know, she's in her hope. She's probably feeling hopeless and she doesn't need to see that like another marriage ended badly.
Yeah, she doesn't need to take that on board.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
She needs something to believe in.
And she also probably would have felt very guilty because the reason that she came or that she felt motivated to come is because she found Tom's best man speech for their wedding and brought it to them. So if they were like, well, actually, we're divorced, she would have been like, oh, well. Here's your speech from your wedding. Would have been a little tough.
I know. That should have been the spinoff. Mitch, Gail, Megan, and Tom in their 20s. Just all bathing in vanilla.
That's a good title for the show.
Bathing in vanilla.
Bathing in vanilla.
Well, Aunt Gwen's house is amazing. She's like a hippy-dippy, artsy, free spirit, creative type.
Yeah, I do love her house. I'm a little turned off by her. Like, she's so in everybody's face. She talks to Pacey for like a minute straight and is holding his hand the whole time.
She's nosy. Maybe that was supposed to kind of be the character, like she's a divorcee who like doesn't have a life kind of a thing.
Totally. I think no one's doing anything wrong. I'm just off put by the character.
Yeah.
Her house is amazing.
Her house is amazing. It's like a log cabin kind of vibe.
Nice fireplace. She's just here painting all day. We love it.
So she knows Dawson and Joey pretty well. She's met Pacey once or twice. They don't know each other that well. She's meeting Andy for the first time and Will for the first time. She confuses Will with Jackers. And they're like, no, Jackers isn't coming. This is Will.
We just found a replacement. Don't worry. So Pacey and Joey are the last two to go to bed. They go into the room and everyone else has taken a spot on the floor. And the only open spot is two spots in the bed. They would have to sleep together.
Yes. Joshua Jackson is wearing a wife beater.
He looks great. Love his tank top. I wrote that down.
Love it. I shouldn't use the phrase wife beater. Yes, he's wearing a tank top. And he looks good.
Looks great.
That's all.
I remember this scene and the conversations of him. He asks everybody if they could trade with Joey so that they don't have to sleep together. And Dawson says no. Andy kind of snores and like stays asleep. And Will is like, no offense, but I don't want to sleep with you, Pacey. And Joey, I don't think I know you well enough.
Yeah, that was cute.
And I remember that this scene so well. Being like, oh, baby, they're going to sleep together.
They're going to sleep together. So they get in bed and it's so funny and cute. But it's awful for them. They're fighting over the covers. Get your butt away from me.
I don't want my butt anywhere near your butt.
So cute and funny. And we love it. We love it. We love it.
Do love it.
They turn their backs to each other. And then they wake up in the morning. And he's kind of checking to see if she's awake. And she is, but she pretends to be asleep.
And then they go to breakfast. And Aunt Gwen's like monologuing about how they're going to go shopping. And she's going to take Joey and Dawson. And, you know, my little town doesn't have a ton to offer. There's no multiplex. There's no monster truck show. What the hell is she talking about?
I know. God. I was like, monster trucks.
But she says, you know, there's a pool hall. Go check it out. It's probably going to be fun.
Yeah. The pool hall story was a little weird.
Well, Krudsky lights up at the mention of a pool hall, and we'll find out why later.
Well, they have to go play pool because they can't go to the monster truck rally.
There's no monster truck rally.
Mitch is handling the baguettes. He's just inspecting them and putting them in a little bread warmer.
I thought you were going to say handling the news of Tom's passing. Yeah, he is. He is. And Gail, you know, he's bummed, obviously. His friend passed and...
they haven't spoken in years. And Mitch says that he wishes he called his friends. So if you have any friends out there, call them.
Call them. Reach out and touch faith.
Because anyone can die at any moment.
Ugh.
That's the truth. Just like Tom.
When I think about that, I have the same feeling of when I think about space.
Which is?
It's too much. It's overwhelming.
Oh.
When am I going to spend 6 days and call everyone I've ever known and tell them I enjoy them?
I think you should.
It's too much.
That'd be so funny. I love Jen asserting her power over Shelly. Like, Shelly, you've tables 5 and 6 today. Shelly's like, that's crazy talk. Jen's like, sorry, hon.
Yeah, Jen's really taking her role as hostess seriously. She's acting like the manager.
As she should. Because the manager's over there filling up the baguettes. It's unstructured. Shelly needs structure.
Henry's like, you seem a little jealous. And Jen is like, jealous? Never heard of her. Me? Could never be. Jen is laughing in Henry's face about the idea she could be jealous.
She's spiraling.
And you know, she is spiraling. You know what's interesting? She's wearing pigtails in this scene, and I think she actually looks really cute. And when Andy McPhee wears pigtails, I want to pull them out of her head.
Why is that? Talk about that.
I don't know.
Is it because of the length of the hair? Is it because of their face shapes? Is it because of the personality? What is it?
They have very similar hair lengths. So I would say it's probably personality, and it might be the amount that they move their heads when they talk.
Right.
Like Jen is a little more steadfast, yeah. Like steady. And Andy is constantly bopping around. So her pigtails are like flailing.
I see. Yes, that makes sense.
So then we go to the pool hall.
Andy can't believe how bad they are at pool. And then they get approached by some pool sharks for a little bet.
Which they take. Turns out, Brudsky's a hustler.
And they got that money. They got that bag.
Sure did.
And in general, the theme of this episode with Andy is that she's learning things about Will. You know, she was shocked to learn that he was into literature and was very academic. And now she's learning that he's kind of resourceful and...
but also a scammer. She doesn't like that so much.
But then he gives her her take, her share.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, okay.
And then they wash a horse. Which kind of looks fun.
They do wash a horse. But before they wash a horse, we are with Dawson, Joey, and Aunt Gwen in like a sort of artsy thrift store situation. It's really hard to tell where they are.
Yeah, I'd say like a consignment shop or something.
And Dawson tells Aunt Gwen that he's looking for something for his walls. And Aunt Gwen says, oh, what I remember of your room is all movie posters. And he's like, I'm different now. And Aunt Gwen then asks Dawson and Joey why they aren't together, why they aren't holding hands, why they aren't cuddling. Really weird to me.
Yeah, very weird.
Very weird.
But she's confused and she wants answers. And the questions she's asking kind of make Dawson start to wonder as well. And so while the others are washing the horse, Joey and Dawson are upstairs talking about this place and their memories. And he's saying he questions so much and he's reinventing himself. But the one thing that he never questioned was Joey.
And it was interesting to hear Joey talk about Dawson in that moment, because she's like, you are different. Like, you're different. It used to always be about you and what you were doing. And it's not anymore like you're leaving space for other people. And I was like, wow, it's true. Like, my biggest complaint about Dawson early on was how narcissistic he was and like how it was all about Dawson all the time. So self-centered. And this season, it's changed big time.
Yeah, I think they're getting better at giving him other, he hasn't done a 180 or anything, but I think they've done a better job of giving him other shades.
Yeah.
So it's not so selfish, so narcissistic all the time, you know, very stubborn, but there's just other elements to him that they're focusing on, which is this like self-discovery kind of.
Yeah.
What I really thought was brilliant that I never really noticed before is like last week was all about Pacey and Dawson's friendship and their childhood friendship. This episode's all about Joey and Dawson's. So they're kind of reminding Dawson, the character, how close he is with both of them as we head into this triangle. I thought it was very well done.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
Last week was a trip into memory lane for Dawson and Pacey, and this week it's Dawson and Joey, and we're really just like shoring up those close ties, the history.
Yeah.
Because it's going to come into play.
Setting us up.
Setting us up quite nicely.
I love two things. I think James Vanderbeek looks really good in this scene where they're sitting up in the barn chatting. Like, he just looks very rugged and manly in a way that Dawson never really looks. I was very into it. And then, so there's a moment of right before the act out, Dawson says, I'm starting to forget why. And Joey says, why what? And Dawson says, why we're not together. And then in that moment, Pacey yells up and says, hey, you guys want to come down and give us a hand? And there's a shot of Pacey from above, and then it pans down to the floor of this loft area that they're in, and it says Dawson and Joey, best friends forever. It's just a really good shot. It's very well thought out.
Yeah. Once again, just reminding us of that history.
Then we're in a scene with Joey and Aunt Gwen, and Aunt Gwen tells Joey the importance of painting your future and like thinking about what you want and pointing yourself in that direction. And she says that she points to her favorite painting of hers and says, that's the one I painted it. And it's basically a painting of the house that they're in. And she tells her that she painted it before she even moved into this house. It's just something that she wanted for herself, and then she made it a reality. And that line, paint your future, comes back in this episode. But it reminds me of vision boards. Have you ever made a vision board?
Yeah, of course. None of it came true.
Oh, my therapist just told me to make one. So I need to find some magazines. But I know people who make vision boards every year for their year, and a lot of the stuff comes true.
Mm.
Like, when just the act of like thinking about what you want kind of makes you work towards what you want.
Yeah, I guess it's more you see it every day, so it reminds you you want it. So you always keep pursuing it.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like magic, but
right.
It definitely like orients you in a way. It's intriguing.
Then Gwen shows Joey a painting of Dawson and Joey when they're baby, when they're kids.
Yeah.
And it's hanging in her house.
She's a kook about them.
It's getting so weird.
It's really, and they're in like a heart, aren't they? In my head, they are.
Yeah, it's bad. I mean, it's bad. I don't know what this woman's, it's crazy. She's the lady killer.
They got the wrong guy.
They got the wrong guy. There are so many lady killers around. It's like a cult. It's a serial killer cult.
Most of them are blonde women, too. Yeah, it's weird. It's really weird. She's weird. Even if she took it out of storage and put it up just for this weekend, it's weird. It's weird. She's weird.
Yeah.
Pacey sees it. He's like, huh, yeah, okay.
Aunt Gwen be crazy. So then Will opens up to Andy about his dad issues.
Then we go back to Leary's Fresh Fish, and Henry, in a panic, runs up to Jen and says, Shelly just offered me sex. Jen's like, what? And he's like, I just thought you should know about it. Shelly just offered me sex. She said I could have sex with her anytime I wanted.
And she was like, why don't you then? Why don't you go have a million babies with Shelly?
Jen's losing it. Jen is coming unglued.
Losing it. Unglued. But this is why she doesn't get in relationships, because she turns into crazy jealous. She gives people power over her and she doesn't like it. She likes being in control.
Yeah, then we go to a conversation with Will and Andy. I adore the ambiance of Aunt Gwen's house. She has candles everywhere. Truly, her house would be burned down.
Burned down.
To the ground.
All those woods.
She's basically, every room has 700 candles and 700 plants.
Yeah, forest fire.
We go from the Andy Will scene into a karaoke scene. I love this karaoke scene. Iconic.
Yeah. They're just, I love when the cast can have fun together.
The first song is everyone but Dawson. So Dawson's just sitting and watching everyone else sing Louie Louie. Then Andy sings Ooh Child, Ooh Child. And She is so bad. It is hilarious. I loved it. I loved that they made Andy bad at karaoke and that she's cracking up at herself. I think that was awesome. Then Pacey sings Wild Thing. And then Aunt Gwen is like, Joey Dawson, it's your time to sing your classic karaoke song.
Sing for me. Sing for me.
They sing Daydream Believer. And as we know, James Van Der Beek has a pretty decent voice. We know it because he liked to show it off singing the blues.
And Josephine Potter sang at Miss Windjammer on my own.
Oh, that's right. How could I forget? Hers is not as good. I mean, it's fine. They're both very adequate singers. And Pacey is so bummed. It's so cute. Joshua Jackson is such a good actor.
So good. The best.
Because he's not jealous and he's not just sad. Like, you see it's defeat. It's like him realizing, like, yeah, I'm never going to be able to compete with this.
Powerful face acting.
Top tier.
Loves it.
And he leaves.
He's so sad and upset, but defeated, like you said. And Joey notices that he leaves, but she continues karaokeing.
Then the very top of the next scene made me laugh. It starts on a shot of Henry and Shelley, and then there's like a slow zoom in on Jen through their heads.
I know, it made me laugh too. It was very like Psycho or, you know, old 70s horror or something.
It was great.
The pace of the zoom made me laugh.
Very, very funny.
She's just horrified looking at Shelley and Henry flirting. And
then she calls Shelley in the dining room of Leary's Fresh Fish while the stuffy crowd is eating their dinner. She calls Shelley a slutty wench.
Jen, I thought you were supposed to be about girl power.
Yeah, you know, she's all about it until you come for her man.
I would put Shelley in a spinoff. I'm going to put her in Bathing in Vanilla, the Mitch Gale, Tom Megan prequel.
She's going to be a toddler.
But she'll be there. She'll be there.
Joey comes out and finds Pacey in a rocking chair. Something about Pacey in a rocking chair in his little corduroy jacket is everything I've ever wanted.
Yeah. And just a small thing. I just love how when Katie Holmes is going to give like a nervous speech or like a scene where she's nervous, she plays with her sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a character tick that I love.
I've never clocked it.
What?
Yeah.
Pacey says he can't compete with the history. And she's like, you're not supposed to. We're supposed to have our own history. But she like stops herself.
And he's like, what?
Yeah.
What does that mean? Ugh. God, this scene just rips my little heart out. It made me feel alive. Which is a callback to Aunt Gwen. Aunt Gwen said earlier, this turn, this moment, the way that he talks to her when he says, okay, Joe, I'm going to kiss you now. And he like has his hands together. He's like laying out the plan. It's like, you cannot say something like that and expect me not to kiss you. So I'm going to kiss you. And if you don't want it to happen, then you're going to have to stop me. He gives her tons of time.
10 seconds.
It is ballsy though. And it bites them a little bit because they hear a throat clear and it turns out to be Aunt Gwen.
Yes.
What if it was
Dawson
or Andy?
It's definitely gutsy, but they're caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
He's kind of fed up because he's walking away when she stops him and she says, I felt it. That's what made me feel alive. He's walking away from her. He's kind of had it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're spotted by the number one Joey Dawson shipper. It's drama.
It is drama.
Did you remember that Gwen saw them? Like, did you, because you know this episode so well. When you heard the cleared throat, did you know it was Gwen?
I did, yeah. Did you?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of remembered right before it was her. Because when I think about the scene, I don't think about them getting interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
So that was like a little bit of a memory jog. And then I did know it was her because I knew it wasn't anyone big. Because I remember the moments when like characters find out, the bigger characters find out about it. But yes, I think I just forgot about the interruption altogether.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting to me because so we go from this scene, then Joey goes inside and she does start to talk to Dawson a little bit. Aunt Gwen tells her she needs to tell Dawson. So she goes inside, she's talking to Dawson, and Aunt Gwen walks in and Joey's like, oh, I'll let you two talk, like we could talk later. And it surprised me that Aunt Gwen didn't say, no, you two talk, like, because she wanted so much for them to have that conversation. And then Andy and Pacey have a conversation when Andy kind of opens up about Will, which is nice. As an audience, it's nice to see her kind of having these thoughts and feelings so we don't feel like terrible for Andy. Her moving on at this point is very convenient in a way that I like.
She's just reminding Pacey that it's better to be open and honest about everything. And another thing that they're reminding us of how close Andy and Pacey were. And because Pacey and Joey keep talking about Dawson, hurting Dawson, obviously that's the person they've known the longest, but they're obviously also going to hurt Andy because they're both friends with her.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this scene. It was just a good little Pacey, Andy, got to get the pandy in before we reveal things. So you kind of appreciate why they do stuff looking back.
Yeah. Henry finds Jen crying in the walk-in or storage closet or wherever she is.
He tries to comfort her. She basically opens up and says, like, this is why I don't get close to people. You know, I get hurt. I'm scared of getting hurt. Maybe she's hurting herself in this episode is like a self-fulfilling preemptive, hurt herself before he can hurt her kind of a thing. And she's surprised that he's comforting her. She's surprised he's not mad. And he says, girl, I ain't going nowhere.
They thrive on this.
He says, girl, I ain't gonna hurt you.
Then Mitch and Gail.
Wow. Are they back together? What's happening? Are they just testing the waters? We'll have to see.
Time will tell. But they both realized their issues aren't that big when Tom is dead.
Tom is dead. And they reread the wedding vows and they've just been watching these wedding videos and they've just gotten so caught up in it. And like, Megan cannot be with the love of her life and they can. So why aren't they?
So as their wedding video plays, them dancing on their wedding night, they dance in Leary's Fresh Fish.
And we kind of feel like if they're not back together now, they're going to get back together shortly. But we'll see.
Only time will tell.
Time will tell. They got to do it for Tom.
They've got to do it for Tom. We've got more photos. Dawson's looking through photos of him and Joey singing the karaoke.
Then Aunt Gwen gives Dawson something for his wall. It says Daydream Believer. Cute. It's cute.
She gives him the painting of him and Joey.
When Gwen says, Dawson, paint your future, what's the one thing you see? He doesn't answer. Do you think it's Joey?
I think it's Joey, but I also think that he's been living in this like uncertainty thing. That's probably why he doesn't answer. I think he is certain that it's Joey, but I think he's uncertain about literally everything else.
Like the person he was last year, the film geek who loved Joey, was the person he's meant to be. Like he shouldn't. It's fine to question yourself, but through questioning himself, he found out he already was the person that he wanted to be. And he needs to go back to that.
There you go.
Which is film and Joey. Okay, well, too bad Joey's out at the campfire with Pacey. And he's like, what are we doing? What's happening? And she says, I don't know. And they bicker about why she doesn't know. And she's like, I can't get you out of my head. It's crazy. It's not working. I don't know what's happening. And he says, well, do you want me to be out of your head? And she's like, I don't know.
Yeah, he says, the reason that you don't have any of these answers is because you're not asking yourself the right questions. I know how I feel about you. You know how I feel about you. That's obvious. The question is, how do you feel? How do you feel about everything that's happening?
And she says, I don't know.
She says, awful. I feel awful. She feels awful about Dawson. She feels awful about, she's just worried about everything. And Pacey says, when I was kissing you tonight,
I felt awful.
I have never felt worse and better at the same time. So they're on the same page. They both feel awful, but they're both
feeling alive. They feel alive and they feel dread. Like the impending doom of Dawson finding out.
No, I know, but that's the name of my album, Alive and Full of Dread.
They feel alive, but they're full of dread. And he was just like, look, if you felt one shred of what I'm feeling for you, then we wouldn't be here talking about this.
And I've kissed you twice and I can't do it again. And I won't do it again. So figure it out.
And she's like, what does that mean? And he's like, it means I can't kiss you again. I can't be the one who's always giving you the answers and giving you the kisses.
And he walks away. And then we're in the frame that you think of when you hear Daydream Believer. She grabs his hand and says, Pacey.
Does she say Pacey?
Yeah.
Or does she say Pace?
Oh, I don't know. In my head, she says Pacey.
I'm going to turn the subtitles on. She says Pacey. She grabs his hand. She turns.
He looks at her. She looks at him.
She pouts. She pouts more. She kisses him.
She kisses him.
The music plays.
She grabs his face.
He grabs his neck. He grabs the, whatchamacallit, of his neck. What do they call that?
Nape.
The nape. And then he grabs the small of her back, and then she grabs his shoulders.
God, this has become audio porn.
And then she grabs his back, and I'm sure she feels around for his muscles.
Yeah.
Maybe she smells his hair. I don't know.
We know that he's into that.
Maybe she whiffs a little of his neck.
Fade to executive producer Paul Stupin. Man, what an episode.
What an episode. Stony kisses.
Man, what's going to happen?
Nothing that Aunt Gwen wants to see. Aunt Gwen is pissed. You know she's watching them through like a telescope from the top window.
She's up in that loft. She carved in the words Joey and Dawson, best friends forever.
Oh my God. She's probably painting like their baby. Like, this is your baby.
Yeah.
Well,
this is it.
Joey kissed Pacey. A turning point.
A huge turning point.
And Dawson's hanging out with his aunt.
Yep.
Sorry, Dawson.
It's okay. There are worse places to be. So, yeah. That's it. I mean, this is a gigantic turning point at this point. You know, up to this point, we kind of had this will they, won't they? And now Joey's basically said with her actions, I'm in, let's do it. And that means what the hell is going to happen when Dawson finds out and secondarily Andy finds out.
Amen. Praise be. I don't know. We'll have to find out together next week.
And we will. And we will. Next week's episode is called The Longest Day, and it is regarded as one of the best and most highly rated episodes of the series.
Written by Gina Fattori, who we had the pleasure of speaking to.
Yes.
The interview will be dropping post-season 3 to avoid spoilers.
Yes, sir. It was very interesting to hear about how this episode came to be. It is not a normal... It wasn't broken as a normal episode. There's a little twist to it. So we'll talk all about that next week.
Yes, we shall. For now, we have a Creek Speak.
Exciting.
Yes, keep those Creek Speaks coming. But this one today is from Kylan Buckingham. And she DM'd us on Instagram. She said, hi, Christina and Micah. My name is Kylan, and I'm from a very small town in Illinois. I just recently found your podcast about a month ago and decided to do a rewatch with you guys and follow along with the podcast. I wanted to wait until I caught up with you guys to write in, and I just finished. I found Dawson's Creek about a year ago and immediately became obsessed with it. You guys have an amazing podcast and give so much good insight on things. I actually end up going to watch the episode a second time after I listened to the podcast because of all the things you guys noticed that I didn't. I really appreciate all the behind-the-scenes information about the industry and what you guys do. I'm 20 and very interested in working in TV, just not really sure where to start and don't know much. Thank you again for the awesome podcast, and I cannot wait for the season 3 finale and the Bobby Awards.
Ah!
Yeah, that was nice.
That's awesome. Thanks, Kylan.
Yeah.
This is like the first time anyone's ever mentioned the Bobby Awards. And sometimes when we're doing the Bobby Awards, I'm like, are we just doing this for ourselves? Because it is really fun. So I'm glad that somebody else listens and likes it.
Yeah. And we might be doing it for ourselves.
No shame in that.
For this year's Bobby Awards, I'm going to get effed up.
Maybe I'll get some champagne.
We should do like shots before the Bobby Awards.
Ooh, get ready for some sloppy bobbies.
Sloppy bobbies. So what are you watching? What you watching these days?
I am watching The English Teacher, which I think you also watched. I'm a few episodes in. It's so good. It's so funny. I love it. I think it's great.
Hysterical. No words.
Also, I feel like I knew, but I forgot that Jordan Firstman was in it. I love Jordan Firstman. I think he's so funny.
Yeah, I didn't know he was in it until I started watching. I didn't really see a lot of trailers for it. Very funny show. Oh my gosh.
It's great. Easy watch.
What, 8 episodes or something? Like 22, 23 minutes. So quick and easy. I started watching because of you, Love is Blind.
Mm.
I just jumped in with season 7. I hit it hard. Like I binged the first 6 or 7 episodes like in a day. And then when they leave the pods, like I really struggle with the show. Like I really like them in the pods.
This season particularly is not good. After the pods, I didn't even make it to the end. I think I told you that. I made it a few episodes past the vacation, the like engagement vacation, and then I stopped. You should go back and watch some of the older seasons. They're better.
Yeah, you know what? It's great. It's a great plane show because it's not that deep and you could just kind of blow through them. I watched like 6 or 7 on that plane ride back last week, and it was just so easy. And then I also am watching Fellow Travelers, which is a show on Showtime. And that has been good as well. Like, pretty solid.
What is that about?
It's Jonathan Bailey and it's Matt Bomer. They work in the government during like the McCarthy era when they were trying to identify all of the closeted gay men in the government. It's called like the Lavender Era, I think. I mean, there was like a department in the government that was dedicated just to like interrogating people and giving them polygraphs and finding them. But the show takes place over 30, 40 years. So you follow these two characters and it's been really good. We have one episode left of that.
Nice.
Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got.
Next week. Wow.
Oh my God. I cannot wait.
Did you ever have one of those days you wish you could live all over again? I remember watching the next time on Dawson's Creek. I watched that for next week's over and over.
Ugh.
I mean, that in and of itself was like a little cinematic, little masterpiece, 30 second masterpiece.
I truly can't wait.
I'm going to try to find it. I'll post it on our Instagram if I can find it. So what are we going to drink next week?
Next week, we will be drinking The Longest Day. It is gin, Campari, lemon juice, simple syrup, orange slices, egg white, and seltzer, soda water.
Isn't it crazy how some of the titles have just drinks named after them?
That's my first search every time. I'm like, is there a cocktail named?
I love it. All right, well, I guess I'll see you then.
See you then. Bye.
Bye.